Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to Waltrip Unfiltered. I'm Michael Waltrip, your host. So glad you took a chance to join us. Spend some time listening to our content. It's going to be a great show today. We've got last week's winner from Las Vegas, Joey Logano, joining us. We're going to talk about the racing in Vegas, what we expect to see at ISM Speedway, and we're going to do it all right now.
Hamlin off turn number four. No, side-by-side battle to the finish this time. Denny Hamlin wins his second Daytona 500. Brad Keselowski is going to win the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. Nose to tail off turn four. Oh,
so close. Wow.
He was there.
Joey Logano scores his first win of the season in his championship defense.
The 2019 season, she's up and running, isn't she? Kicked off with that amazing Daytona 500. It's the best trophy in all of NASCAR. And you know that race is going to be nuts. It always is. You never know what to expect, what's going to happen. Denny Hamlin pulls into victory lane. Thrilling race, a lot of crashes late, but a lot of action and fun to watch for sure. And then after that, I think there was a lot of curiosity. What should we see? What will it look like in 2019? You know, people say we have a new rules package. I don't like that word. I prefer to go with we have new cars. We have 2019 cars that we're racing. It doesn't matter what their package is. You know, they're aerodynamic. They got power. They're fun to watch. They're fun to drive. And we're going to see the best drivers in the world go out and try to beat each other. Nothing's really going to be any different. The hope was the racing would be closer. Well, guess what? It is. The last two races, both at Atlanta, when Brad Keselowski barely held off Martin Truex Jr. and in Las Vegas, Logano held off a charging Brad Keselowski. The closest two finishes in the last 29.5 mile races. NASCAR made adjustments to the rules so that the cars would run closer together so it'd be more entertaining to the fans. And how some people can derive that as a negative, I just really don't get it. It was a great change. It worked. We've seen two races and the racing's been better. Statistically speaking, I'm talking science. I'm not just telling you my opinion. People always say to me, boy, you think everything's great, don't you? Well, that's not exactly true. I just don't choose to be negative about things that aren't based in fact. And facts come from statistics. I have three stat guys, and they are on it. They told me at Atlanta it was the closest finish in the last 28.5 mile races. Well, Las Vegas would be the closest now and Atlanta second. So the last 29.5 mile races, the last two have been the closest finish. And that's what you want, right? Close finishes. So I know statistically speaking, the racing's closer. At Atlanta, there were more lead changes, more cars on the lead lap, more different leaders. All those were the most we'd seen in recent history at that track. So don't argue with me. I'm right. Racing is better. And this weekend, we have another unknown. The rules for the 2019 cars that we're racing are a bit different at ISM Raceway. The cars will have more power, but they're going to have the same aerodynamics, which means, can you figure it out? You're following along, right? More power, better aerodynamics than ever? Yes, a new track record. They're going to be going faster than ever at ISM Speedway this weekend. So the drivers' jobs, in my opinion, I want to ask Joey his opinion. The drivers' jobs in 2019 got harder. If you got more cars on the lead lap, there are more lead changes. That means you're racing closer to each other. And one thing we know for certain, the racing after the restarts, it's out of hand. I mean, they're all over, 3 and 4 wide. And those cars are difficult to drive in those situations because the air around them, the turbulence, it makes them do crazy things. So we've seen talented racers go 3 and 4 wide. I thought maybe we'd see a big one at Las Vegas. I thought that was a real possibility because of the racing, but the guys were able to negotiate through it and then race to the checkered. We didn't have one caution flag other than the stage breaks at Las Vegas, and we had that close of a finish. That tells you how NASCAR has nailed the rules for 2019.
Kyle Busch is going to do it in Las Vegas again. Winning at home, Kyle victorious in Vegas. Home sweet home. Career win 93 for Kyle Busch comes in Las Vegas.
And Kyle Busch strikes again. We talked last week about Kyle running in the lower series, the truck and the Xfinity, and he did in Vegas, and he won them both. A lot of people don't like Kyle racing those races. I happen to think it's a good thing for those kids to be able to race alongside one of the best ever, well, the best ever in a truck, and probably the best ever in an Xfinity car as well, and learn and see what it takes to go win one of these races. He dominated the truck race, but man, he had his hands full in that Xfinity battle. Couple of overtime spins and crashes, but he was able to hang on to the victory. Very competitive racing, though, both Friday night and Saturday in the Xfinity race. I enjoyed the races a lot. Not only did we see a great finish at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway in the Cup race, but what about Haley Deegan? She was over at the dirt track, and she won on a last lap pass. A thrilling last lap pass. Went down into turn one. It looked like there might be enough room for a car to squeeze in there. She made it work and drove to victory lane. And then the next day on Fox with Adam Alexander and I, we interviewed Haley. And she made some big news, big announcement. She's coming ARCA racing in 2019. She's going to run 6 races for Venturini Motorsports. I love that girl, man. She's got a great spirit. A lot of fun to be around. And obviously very talented behind the wheel. I think she would be an awesome guest for Waltrip Unfiltered. Talk to her about her new plans and what 2019 is going to bring for her. And on a sad note, I want to send out our thoughts and prayers to the family of Tanner Thorson. Tanner is a talented young racer who was involved in a serious car crash this past week, and he's recovering in the hospital. Just want him to know that we're thinking about him. Hey, Alex, what do you say? Let's dial up old Joey Logano. He's a 2018 Monster Energy Cup Series champion and a great guy. He had some interesting comments in the media center the other day about negativity. I wanted to hug him because I don't like negativity either.
People love to talk about negative stories, and I don't know why. I don't understand it. There's a lot of positive going on in our world, and I'm not just talking about NASCAR racing.
I'm honored to have last week's Monster Energy Cup Series winner from Vegas, Joey Logano, joining us today. Joey, how are you, bud?
Good. I'm traveling back and forth between all these races. I just, little man's a little bit too far for a little man to travel all the way out there on the airplane. He's got like a 2-hour limit on the airplane. So anything further than that, it becomes a disaster where he can't sit still anymore, which is about the same for me. But I decided I would just go back and forth. That way I could spend a little time with him.
I love that. I was going to get right into the race, but since you brought it up, your little man Hudson, I know you got a lot of cars and love cars. Is he into cars?
Oh, yeah. He's into cars already, which I guess is because I guess you expose them to it. They tend to like it. But, yeah, he doesn't have a huge vocabulary yet. But one of his 3 words is vroom, vroom. Vroom, vroom.
Oh, nice.
When he eats and dada. But everybody's dada. Anybody he likes is dada right now. I thought I was special, but I'm not. So, but yeah. He's all about walking around now, and walk, every time he walks around in the parking lot, he walks up to their cars and he wants to touch their wheels and gets his hands all dirty from the breakdown. But it's pretty cool.
You must have grown up pretty much the same way, because as a kid, every picture I've ever seen of Joey Logano, he's either racing something or another. So we'll probably see Hudson take that same path.
Yeah, it would be cool. You know, I'm not pushing him to race or do anything, but I have a lot of good memories of just, you know, hanging out with my dad and, you know, playing around in the garage or taking a classic car to go get ice cream or something like that. Like, those are some of my favorite memories as a kid. So I hope he's at least into that. He doesn't have to race if he doesn't want to, but, that car hobby is always kind of fun for a father and a son to be able to do together. the baby seat's kind of hard to strap into a lot of cars. So we don't need to do that. But the golf cart is the main ride right now. He's all about that. But I got a John Deere tractor. He's all about jumping on that, and we'll move some dirt around or something. And he thinks that's the coolest thing, to see the bucket go up and down and all. But that's it right now.
I would think that with those awesome burnouts after you win a NASCAR race, and we've seen you do them at home as well, I bet you that Hudson's about ready to hop in and take a ride in one of those burnouts.
He is. It's funny. We did the gender reveal party, when you tell everyone whether they're having a boy or a girl, and we did a big burnout, and we had tires that came out with pink or blue smoke, and so we had had tires of blue smoke, and you started doing a burnout, and that's how you're able to tell what you're having for a baby. And that was pretty cool. So that was just technically his first burnout. Mama was in there with me. I'm crazy.
Well, you got to be a little bit crazy to do what we do, if you ask me. And with that, let's talk about the Las Vegas Victory. What a fun race. It was so entertaining for me to watch. And, I don't think the people at home really understand. When you commit to run the wall, you got to be just that, committed, because you can't halfway do it. And with Brad coming, and you knew he was going to go low, and you had to run as hard as you could right out next to the wall. Wow. Take me through those last few laps as you battled toward the checkered.
Yeah, I mean, it was intense for sure. And, it was earlier in that run after the second stage where Brad started making some time by running the wall. And my spotter TJ told me that, and I was like, well, I guess I better figure it out now. I went up there and got a little bit used to it and was able to find more speed. And, the way that wall works is it's kind of crazy, but it drives a wedge between the car and the wall, and the air kind of gets forced in between the car and the wall, and it creates more side force for the car, which also means more grip. So the closer you get, the faster you go. But the closer you get, the better chance you got to hit in it. So, you got to commit to go fast. And so it's risk versus reward. And when you come down to the last few laps and race for the win, you risk it all, right? You're going for the win. So you're able to push a little bit harder and put it right up against there. And, it was a fun race racing my teammate like that. And, it was close. That last lap, he got a good run, off of turn two. And I felt like I was just far enough ahead that he couldn't slide job. What went through my mind was that race in Kansas with Jimmy Johnson and Carl Edwards. Remember that race when he split him and he drove all the way up in front of him and hit the wall?
Yeah, we had a truck race in Iowa like that last year.
So I was thinking of that going into the last corner. I was like, man, is he gonna do that? I don't really know. But I was like, man, I'm just far enough ahead that where I think I could run the top and stay ahead of him. And I was. It was just enough that where when we came off the corner, he was at my quarter panel where I had enough momentum to be able to break through and get the win. So that was cool.
What's it like being behind the wheel and just checking that mirror every now and then and coming down toward the checkered and you see that car just getting bigger and bigger behind you? Are you like, oh no, how am I going to deal with this?
Just counting down the laps, hoping the checkered flag comes quicker sooner rather than later, really. When you're in the lead and you're driving away, you're just kind of running your thing and you're just waiting for the checkered flag. But when the car behind you is running you down and you're just you're hustling and trying to figure out what lane to get to, lap cars trying to get out of the way, trying to you just can't wait for the checkered flag, and that intensity is ratcheted up. And in all honesty, the feeling of winning is actually a little better because it was close and you didn't know you had it till the end. So that part's really neat. But the last 10 laps probably takes a year or so off my life. You're just staring up in the mirror. You're moving around different lanes. You're trying to listen to your spotter and what's on the line, right? I mean, these races aren't easy to win. You can't take any of them for granted that you're going to get. So you never want to give one up.
Well, you said another year off your life. You got plenty of time to give. You're still in your 20s. And if you look at the stats, I'm going to go back to 2009 when you won Rookie of the Year, 2015 Daytona 500, 2018 champion. All those numbers sound really cool for a guy that's just now hitting his prime and will be winning races for many years to come. And you know what? In 2019, you're going to be racing for a championship with that victory at Vegas. With all those accomplishments, I mean, I know too, personally, we've talked about the struggles of getting to the point where you are now. How cool does it feel to be 28 and look back and see what all you've done and then look forward in anticipation about all the things yet that you could accomplish?
Yeah, it's hard to look forward because you don't really know what God's got in store for you. All this can change in a second, but it is healthy sometimes to look back and remember where you came from and the struggles that you go through. And, for me, getting to the cup level wasn't the hard part, which for most people, getting to the level is the hardest part. But for me, I got here, when I was 18 years old. And then I realized I wasn't ready. and so did the rest of the world. and as I was trying to figure this out and figure out how to, race a cup car against, the best, right? These are the best stock car racers in the country. I mean, it's incredible what they're able to do. And, just trying to learn every week. And then you're trying to lead as an 18-year-old, lead a team. And that's next to impossible, especially when you don't have much of a resume behind you. So, it was really challenging. But those moments are, what has grown me into who I am today. And I wouldn't trade them for the world. But when you talk about those stats, I think, man, how many race wins I feel like I've given away, the first 4 years of my career. The first 4 years, I only had a couple wins. And to be able to now, be able to grab quite a bit more wins in the last, 5-6 years has been a pretty fun ride. But I never forget how hard it is and what that was like when I first started, trying to figure all this out. And there's still stuff to figure out, believe me, especially with this new rules package. It's like a whole new game again that you're all trying to figure out again.
I was talking to Denny last week, and he agreed with me that the driver's jobs officially got harder in 2019, or at least different. The cars are going to be closer together. There's going to be more cars finishing on the lead lap, more lead changes, and all those things I think are going to happen, and that will make your job harder. I know we're just three races in, but I want to get your opinion. Did your job just get more difficult against the competition?
It didn't get harder and it didn't get easier. It just is different. You know how it is, Michael. You go to like a Daytona or a Talladega, it's not technically easier. It's just different. There's a lot. You're thinking of where other cars are, what your surroundings are, how to work the draft, how to position yourself to win at the end. Now with this new rules package, it's like a hybrid between what you have at Daytona, Talladega, and what Las Vegas and Atlanta and Auto Club Speedway, all of them used to be, right? So it's kind of in between what it is. So, by yourself, the cars are a little bit easier to drive. But when you get in traffic and you get in the race situations, they're a lot more unpredictable than last year because the hole in the air is bigger and, they just jump out, they jump loose or jump tight out of nowhere. And your reaction time has to be quicker. And then on top of that, you get cars quick or closer to you and you got to be able to try to manipulate, the cars around you for what is the best position for your car. So that mental engagement that you need in the race, I feel like that has become a little bit more strenuous and a little harder to do than what it was last year. So you think of last year, you have 4 to 5 laps on a restart of some really intense racing, and then you fall into a rhythm and you start racing, and you start trying to move around and find speed. Now we got 15 laps, maybe a little longer, of hard, intense restart type action where cars are right on top of each other before it falls into the kind of a separation and you moving around and all that. So it's cool that we still have both, but that intensity moment on restarts lasts longer, which is mentally strenuous for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely different. But to me, everything you just described, it sounds harder. I appreciate your opinion. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the fans like how different it'll be. Also think that when you're watching, you guys deal with restarts and having all those cars around you, it's going to be more stressful, put more pressure on you and your team because you don't get hung in the back and be in a mess in the middle of traffic after having a bad pit stop. Those guys have to step up too. So everything, I think, just intensified for the 2019 season. And the intensity is even going to be ratcheted up more this weekend because you guys are going to be hauling the mail at ISM. A new track record, I'm for sure.
Oh, you're not kidding. You know, when you get that 750 package back in with that added downforce, these cars are going to be going around there pretty fast. So it's a whole new game when we get there, too. You may think it's a similar package to what it was last year, but it's really not. I mean, we add, around 60% more downforce than what we had. I mean, that's a lot. You know, that's really getting it. So it's going to make quite the difference. And the race will be, obviously the setup will be different, but the way we race each other will be different as well. So what's going to happen when you're behind a car now with that bigger spoiler? So a lot of that's an unknown that we're going to figure out when we get out on the racetrack and practice behind a car and kind of, see what we need as far as traffic. And, probably one of the biggest pieces that kind of, I think, has been overshadowed so far as the storyline is that track bar adjuster being gone this year. That's a big piece, especially when you have a rules change and you don't really know what you're looking for. It's harder to hit that setup right on, when you're going to the racetrack for the first time with a new rules package. And when you had that track bar adjuster, that kind of got you out of a bind sometimes. And now it's even more important to make sure you have your car set up right because you got what you got when that run starts. And I think that's a good thing. It should be that way. I don't think we should have the ability to fix our cars. We should have to, as drivers, figure out how to overcome it. And as crew chiefs and engineers, they should figure out how to make the right adjustments and on a pit stop. I think that just adds more to the race. And also makes more comers and goers, right? When you had the track bar adjuster and you were tight on the front side of a run, you just raise the track bar and then you lower it back down and you can kind of get through. Now there's cars that are obviously way better on a short run compared to the long run and vice versa. So I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I love that too. And I said at the open of this podcast a little bit earlier, I'm not into saying the P word, rules package. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say the new 2019 cars, because the 2019 cars on the racetrack are really cool. And we know they're different, but it's a car. And just, you said it so well, it's racing. It's the same thing we've always seen. So for folks too, and P.S., I loved your media center thoughts on people being negative and rude. I hate that as well. I don't know why we got to pick on our sport like that sometimes. It just seems like people don't have anything better to do, I guess. So, Waltrip Unfiltered, we say 2019 cars. And the rules? Yes, they are different, but you guys are the best drivers in the world. And I'm still having a ball watching you all figure it out.
Oh, we're having fun too. You know, I think the bottom line is that the cream will always rise to the top, right? It doesn't discredit the best drivers or the best teams. And maybe in qualifying, it does a little bit. But when the race starts, the teams that are the smartest and the drivers that are the most talented and work the hardest will get the reward. And we've seen that already in the first few races, that if you look at the finishing order of the top 10, there's not really a big surprise in that top 10. It's the same cars that were there last year. The cars that are the best, the teams that are the best, the drivers that are the best are up front racing for wins, racing for in the top 10, where it should be. You don't want to discredit that and change a car so much that you don't get that. I think you see right now that, the best teams are working hard trying to figure this out. And those are the teams that are successful right now. So, I want to keep that. I don't think that should change. You don't want it to be the great equalizer. You want the cars to be closer. You want more racing, but you want the best to still be the best.
Well, hats off to the Penske team doing so well with the Mustangs right off the bat. There was a lot of talk during the offseason about, we didn't design our Mustang for these new rules. With a big spoiler in their aerodynamics, this could be difficult for us. Last year, the Camaro came out, and the year before, the Camry, and they struggled a bit. But you guys, you've hit it right off the bat. How's that feel driving the new car?
It's obviously pretty good. Hey, as long as you're winning and running up front, it's pretty good. But I think that the timing of that, Michael, is really what has been the best for us is, you know, when you think about when Chevy introduced the Camaro and Toyota with their new Camry, you know, there wasn't a rules change with that. And now with the 2019 rules introduced at the same time as we're introducing the Mustang, you're already going to go through a development cycle. Even if we still race the Fusion, what we did last year, we'd have to restart and relearn everything when you have a spoiler and a grad pan and a big splitter that's so much bigger than what we raced before. So you'd be starting all over anyway. So it's the perfect time to switch to the new body and get that Mustang out there, because we're going to have to go through the same development cycle as we are right now.
Some fun things happen in Vegas over at the dirt track. Did you get a chance to check it out? Every race over there was decided by a last lap pass. The World of Outlaws, the sprint cars, and then what Haley Deegan did on the last lap. That move was incredible.
I saw it on TV. I was in bed sleeping by that point. I was on East Coast time, man. I go to sleep. But what a great race, and to be able to see that, and it's cool to watch those cars on dirt. I've never seen, you know, the K&N cars on dirt before, and it was kind of fun to watch them and what they were doing. And I mean, the heat races were pretty exciting even, you know. So she did a great job capitalizing on the opportunity in front of her, you know, when two cars are racing side by side and they move up, she, you know, stuck her nose in there and rooted them out of the way a little bit. I thought it was great.
It didn't look like there was much room there for her to get in, but she made it happen, moved Jones out of the way, and on her way, she went to victory. I got in bed about 8 o'clock that night, Joey, and I turned on Dirt Vision on my telephone, and I couldn't turn it off. I just kept watching race after race after race, and I wanted to see so bad how Haley would do. And the finish, man, it definitely didn't disappoint. You got to check it out if you hadn't seen it.
Of course. I mean, we're racing. I was out there watching for you know, the majority of the night before I got tired and went to sleep and thought I need to drive a race car tomorrow. I should probably sleep. But it was fun to watch that and to watch the sprint cars go around. I mean, you're a motorsports fan. It doesn't really matter what it is. You know, I just like racing. I'm a race fan. And whether it's NASCAR racing, which obviously I enjoy the most, that's why I've always dreamed to do it. But, you know, you still remember, you know, kind of the grassroots racing, you know, whether it's, you know, asphalt late models or, you know, dirt stuff, which I didn't really do much of, but it's still fun for me to watch. You know, all that stuff's a lot of fun, you know, and even with Penske, you know, the Indy cars and the, you know, kind of, you know, the road course stuff. And I enjoy watching it and listening to their communication and what's different compared to what I do and what's similar. And it's kind of fun for me.
Talking about Team Penske, do you ever think about the 24 hours at Daytona, the 24 hours of Le Mans, or any of those races? Are they on your radar moving forward?
I think it'd be really cool to do one day. I think it'd be fun. I haven't approached Roger yet about it and talked much about it, but it would be fun, you know, to put a car together and like have all the NASCAR guys, you know, and have me and, you know, Brad and Blaney and Menard maybe or something like that all jump in it and go. That would be a fun experience for us. You know, and you know, the Rolex 24 seems like, you know, you think of big races in America, yeah, you think of the Indy 500, Daytona 500, you know some of the crown jewels in NASCAR, Southern 500, things like that. But the Rolex 24 is in there pretty high as a race you want to win in America, you know, one of the crown jewel events. And that would be something pretty cool to be involved in.
Yeah, I was able to race up once. My teammate was Clint Bowyer, and I saw him at 4 a.m. and he was the same crazy guy as he is at 4 p.m. It's really fun, though, to experience that race with your teammates. You drive the car and you get out. You tell them what you think about it. Then you go take a nap and go get back in the car and do it all over again. I'm so thankful I had that opportunity.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, when I talk to those guys at Penske and how they do it. And, you know, the driver changes. And like you said, you get out and you don't really have much time to tell someone what the car is doing, but you know, before the next driver gets in. And yeah, that's all pretty cool. I would hate to be the guy that crashed it, though. That would be the worst thing, you know? Like, oh, I'm that guy, and the other guy didn't even get to drive or something, or you ran 20 hours of the race and then crashed. Like, that would really stink.
I had those same thoughts when I raced that Ferrari at Le Mans. I didn't want anybody to wreck it, but I darn sure didn't want to be the one. One last thing I'm going to ask you about. I think we all get mad at negative stories. You and I both, particularly because we just explained, we're race fans. We love this stuff. And somebody wants to talk crap about it, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, well, that pisses me off. But even in a more of a global view, people just, that's what made me mad in the media center the other day. People just like to complain. Like, they'd rather complain than give a compliment. And you know, the people that enjoy our racing, which is a lot, by the way, that really enjoy it, they say, this is great, looks good, I enjoyed the race, and then they move on with their life, and they don't feel like they have to go on Twitter or any social media platform and raise their voice and be big and bad and try to make a story out of nothing. And, you know, the people that don't enjoy it don't enjoy much of anything. They just like to complain. It doesn't matter if it's racing or whatever. People like that. I don't know. They like to complain, and people like hearing bad news. Why do every time we turn on the news, it's a negative story almost every single time? And that's just a contagious attitude where I think just our whole society is just like that. And it's aggravating because there is so much good going on in our world, whether it's in racing or you know, the size of heart that people have where they're doing stuff in the charitable world. You know, I see some of that stuff firsthand where people do the nicest things. And unfortunately, those stories just don't get published like a bad story. I feel like they say there's no news like bad news. And, you know, no one really, eventually you just get sick of that. And I want to hear something good because there is so much good and I see it and I want to put that out there. And it's hard to do.
I know, I understand. I don't even watch the news anymore. If I do, I watch Fox News because it isn't as negative as the others. But bad news and bad stories still pretty much get on my nerves. And I just want to tell you that I've seen firsthand what your foundation has done for underprivileged and needy kids and just folks in general, and it warms my heart.
And you know, those are the things that, you know, I feel like God's given us an amazing platform to be able to do, you know. And I get these letters all the time that, wow, you know, you shook my son's hand, he's going through this, or my grandfather was going through this, and you said hello and talked to him for 5 minutes, and, you know, it just completely changes. And I'm like, I don't realize what I'm doing half the time. I just feel like I just say hello and, hey, thanks for, you know, supporting our sport and being here. But just doing the smallest things, and that's just for me and what I do, but doing the smallest things, just smiling at somebody, sometimes changes someone's day. And then who knows the reaction that snowballs from there. So, you know, I always, you know, part of our mission for Joe Logano Foundation is to inspire others to live a life of generosity, because, you know, I feel like the impact that we can all make together, if we all just do the right thing when that option comes up, you know, we can really, you know, help our society and change people's lives together. And that's a big deal. You know, when you think about the community of NASCAR and how big we all are, if we do things together, we can do some incredible things.
Well, I really appreciate you and your spirit. You've always got a smile on your face, and you're always so good to fans. And I know that. I've seen it firsthand. And also really appreciate you joining me today on this podcast. This is episode 3. We want to make it really entertaining for the fans and informative. And you've added so much by sharing not only stories about your racing, but about your little man Hudson and all you do in the charitable world. So good luck, buddy, racing your 2019 car, particularly this weekend at the ISM Raceway. It's a fan favorite. What a great destination ISM Raceway is. And I'm looking forward to watching you guys break track records and hauling ass. Thanks for coming by, Joey.
All right, appreciate it. I'll see you out there.
Now, how fun was that? Thank you so much, Joey, for your time joining us. We're going to get all the top stars in NASCAR
and we're going to talk about all the stories that make up this sport we all love so much. I really appreciate each and every one of you that tune in and listen to Waltrip Unfiltered. I also hope that you will share the fun that we're having here with all your friends and ask them to sign up, subscribe, and listen to Waltrip Unfiltered via their favorite podcast app. So I'm Michael. I can't wait to watch the action at ISM Raceway this weekend and have a special guest for you guys all to enjoy next week. Appreciate you. I'll see you at the races.